I'm happy to be here with you this morning. Before I share, and I'm not going to share very long because we're going to leave some time to minister to each other and to have the elders come to pray. I just wanted to minister prophetically really quick. Kate, I'm going to cry. Don't be alarmed. That's just what happens for me. While we were worshiping, Kate, I heard the Lord say over you that he's giving you a new constitution. And like your makeup, that he's changing it. And what has previously been, the only thing I can think of to describe it is like a pool noodle. You know, what had inside of you has felt flimsy, the Lord is turning to strength. That I see that the Lord is wanting you to know that you are becoming a pillar of iron, something unbreakable to the earth's circumstances, unbreakable to the situations that are around you, that the Lord is calling you to become a voice of truth, to become a voice that speaks with authority and with strength. And I hear the Lord saying, you have a new constitution, a new makeup. So I just want to release that over you. We break off any spirit of intimidation or any spirit of inferiority, any spirit of pride. We break it off in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that we decrease and you increase. So we thank you for the increase in Kate's life. We thank you that she does not have to fear the faces of men or even fear after she has spoken. Oh, did I say that right or was that correct? That she can absolutely go forth in peace and in authority. And I thank you, Lord God, that you're making her a pillar of strength in this house at Church Living Water. So we just bless you, Kate. And I also, while we were worshiping, I want to speak just collectively to anybody that has felt like, and it's the picture I got, and the Lord is speaking to me more and more in pictures as the older I get, which is kind of weird and new for me. But I see a hamster wheel, and I feel like there are people that have been on that proverbial hamster wheel that you feel like every year it's just another year. And there's shame because you look back and say, I should be farther along by now. And I want to break that word curse off of you. If that's you, I break that off of you, that we're not going to look in shame at how far we think we should be by now, that God is not a God that keeps score. He's not a God that looks like, well, this is where you should be. He doesn't grade you against a rubric. He sees the completed work of Christ. And so I just releasing that to you, that it is time to get off the hamster wheel. It's time to get off the treadmill, constantly running and beating yourself up and being exhausted, but not getting anywhere new. That today is a new day. God is a God of new beginnings. And that song came forth prophetically in worship. And if that was new to you, that's the Lord singing over us. The scripture says he rejoices over us with singing. And when we worship, God will answer. You spend enough time in his presence and he starts to answer back. And he's declaring over you that today is a new day, that it is a new beginning, that it is time to step off that hamster wheel of just repetition where you're exhausted but have gotten nowhere. I break that curse off of you in the name of Jesus. Today, if you are taking notes, there's a few points that I don't know about you, but like New Year's resolutions kind of stress me out. I don't do well with like taking stock. I think I get kind of depressed. I don't even like watching the whole year in review things because it just feels heavy and weird. So I have to be like, it's just a new day. It's just Monday. It's cool. I have to not like make it that big in my mind. And so if that's you, if you're like, you don't have to do like New Year's resolutions or anything, but today I believe is, a formula for how to approach this new year, that there's some things that the Lord wants to impart to you today. I'm going to have you turn with me to Philippians 3:12. And if you're taking notes, I'll tell you what to write down. I'm a teacher, so I have to be like, this is what I want you to remember. This is our learning objective now. I'm going to read this with you. Philippians 3:12 says, not as though I had already attained or am already perfect, thank God, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or to have attained, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. So if you're writing notes, point number one, forget what is behind. And if you ask me, that is easier said than done. Oh, just forget what happened. Forget that which is behind. But I want to tell you, God does not sit there and remember your past. It is as far removed as the east is from the west, that it is a new day. His mercies are new every morning. forget that which is behind. In the New Living Translation, it says, we must hold on to progress we have already made. I'm a teacher. I teach middle school. Usually when I say that, people go, oh. Or they go like, oh, bless you, you're special. And I'm like, no, it's actually like they're just kids. It's cool. But one of the things we do, because they are middle schoolers and it's like out of sight, out of mind, we go through and we're like, okay, what did we do yesterday? I have found much more success when we take a minute. We go, what did we do yesterday? This is what we did yesterday. Okay, can we start from that point instead of having to start back at the beginning? Because it's just like Groundhog's Day. Like every day, it's like, oh, gosh, we did this yesterday. Don't you guys remember? And they stare at me and they go, no. Like, how did you forget? And then I think about it. I'm like, I actually don't even remember sometimes. So I believe that, I know that sounds silly, but that's kind of what the Lord is wanting us to do, to not forget what we've already come through and where we've already progressed. And so we can start fresh from that position instead of having to go back and go back through all of those things that God has brought us through, that the Lord wants us to forget what is behind because he forgets what is behind. Praise the Lord. So forget what is behind. That's step number one. I love my dad sends me his notes. When I preach, I write a 10-page outline because I'm proving a point and I have all the evidence to back it up because I'm kind of one of those academic types. He sends me his note. He's like, I'm going to send you my notes. Hilarious. It's a scripture with one bullet point. Forget what is behind. I'm like, thanks, Dad. It's great. Okay, let's move forward to Hebrews 12:1. Here's our next step, I guess. We can call it that. Hebrews 12:1. I'll give you a second to turn there. I'm trying. Quinn's got these slides up, so I'm working on it, looking up there. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, fix your eyes. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. The correction of the Lord is because he loves us. He loves us too much to leave us that way. And you know what I want to say? God is not scared of your mess. He's not afraid of it. It doesn't surprise him. You can't hide it from him anyway. And if you read in scripture, there's times Jesus got down in the dirt. When the woman was caught in adultery, he got down and he did tell her, go and sin no more, right? So he doesn't let us stay there. He loves us too much to let us stay there, but he's not afraid of what your reality is. He's not afraid of what you've done or how bad things have gotten. He's not shocked by it. There's nothing that surprises him. And so we can fix our eyes on him. When Jesus walked the earth, his eyes were fixed on the Father. He said, I don't do anything I don't see my Father doing. I don't say anything I don't hear my Father saying. And that is our model. Our eyes are to be fixed on Jesus. If they're fixed on Jesus, then we don't look at what else is around us. I've learned this from my grandma. When you're cutting fabric or whatever, if you sew, I don't. But I remember going to the fabric store, and if they have the little guide, but they're like, if you look at where you're cutting, if you look right here, you start to go off to the side. But if you look at where you're going, you'll cut straight. And that's what we're to do. We fix our eyes on Jesus. That means they're not looking at everything else that surrounds us. We will drown. We will drown in our circumstances if we cannot keep our eyes focused on him and run with endurance the race that is set before us. It doesn't mean to run somebody else's race. It doesn't mean to worry about somebody else's race. You run your race with endurance. And there's a discipline that comes with that. I don't know. I'm not a runner. Thank the Lord. I would love to be. But I say that, but I really wouldn't love to be. I really just don't want to run. But people that do, I know those people because they talk about it a lot. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. I really admire runners, okay? So I have cousins that are like marathon crazy runners. And I always go like, what do you do in your head when you're doing that? I don't understand. And some people have different answers. Some people listen to music. Some people are like, I just nothing. I just think about running. And I'm like, ew, it sounds terrible. But they do. And there's such a discipline and endurance. So you don't just get up and run 26 miles, right? You would die. I would think your body would stop working. You train for it. That there's a discipline. Don't beat yourself up if you're in training. We're always in training. That there's endurance that is built up over time. There's a discipline. And when we fix our eyes on Jesus, we look for the discipline of the Lord. We actually welcome it. We look for it because it means we're drawing closer to him, and it means he's working those things out that concern us. And in the scripture says that he works all things together for good. And so when we can lean into those circumstances because we know it's for his glory. So if you're writing notes, we forget what is behind and we fix our eyes on him, and we fix our eyes on what is ahead, and we run with endurance the race that is set before us. So return with me to 2 Corinthians 4:18. Second Corinthians 4:18 says, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. So the next bullet point, we fix our eyes and then we lift our perspective off of our circumstance. We fix our eyes on him. We lift our eyes to the hills, for that's where our help comes from, right? God is calling us to, he wants to be the lifter of your head. He wants to lift your eyes, and not a head that hangs down, but we look to him and we fix our eyes on him. And we lift our perspective off of our circumstances. And I know I've shared this many times. I'm so grateful that Angela shared a little bit of her testimony and what God has brought her through. That we never forget what God has brought us through. And we forget not his benefits. When I was going through infertility, when I was sitting in that doctor's office and they told me that they didn't think I would have babies. And I was young, and they were like, some people wrote it off and were like, well, you're young, you need to get over yourself. And it wasn't, I went to many, many doctors who finally one listened to me. And I was like, I feel like I know something is, I'm concerned. And some people told us, well, you know, you just need to be, just have faith, just have faith. I'm like, okay, but sometimes having faith and sometimes, like what that looks like, getting our eyes off of our perspective, my eyes in the beginning, and which I'm not like, this is a normal response. I was grieving, and I was grieving what I thought my life was going to look like. And all of a sudden I was like, oh, this is not anything I expected. And it would have been a lie to have gone to the Lord and be like, oh, I just have faith. It's cool. Like, or try to be some big faith giant that God's going to just, move on my behalf and give me this miracle the way I want it. That's not always how God can do that. I believe with my whole heart God can do that, and he can move, and there's a miracle, he can do that. Sometimes when our eyes are not on those circumstances, but okay, what do you want to bring out in me in this situation? I'm so grateful for now. When I go back through, I had, I don't even remember how long, lots of medications, lots of all those fertility drugs and everything. And my daughter was a miracle. And they gave me like a 1% chance of conceiving on my own. And I think we had her, had been married 5 years, which we're about to celebrate 16 years of marriage this week. Even though neither of us can remember how many years, we're like, how many? Wait, no, 15, six, what? 16, I don't know. We're just old. It's cool. When we were two. No. Weird. Okay. So anyway, I remember then after that, I remember being like, if I could have known then what I know now, like if I knew that God was going to give me what I wanted, I could trust him. Like, say that, that's dumb. But it's the truth. It's like, if I knew, I don't care how long I have to wait, but if I know that it's coming, then I'll believe. But that's not biblical. Okay. That's I wanted something to stand on. And so God released prophetic promises to us many, many times. So like I said, we've been married 16 years. When I conceived my son, that was the one and only time that I ever even like thought I was pregnant. So like it never happened before that. It never happened again. Right. Well, I'd love for it too. But anyway, before my son was born, before I got pregnant with him, I had 3 early pregnancy losses on fertility treatments, right? So when I went, this is a lot of details that I'm sorry, but it makes sense. When I originally was going through fertility treatments with my daughter, I had no insurance coverage. So it was all like out of pocket. So now that was where our faith, that's where the Lord chose to develop our faith. It had a lot more to do with trusting the Lord with our finances and learning to stand together as a couple than it did about the baby. Like the God chose that road to birth other things in us. And so I always say, if you lean into those processes of life, if you lean into them, God wants to bring so much out of your pain. He wants to bring so much out of your circumstances that it's the only way that it can be pulled out of you is in those situations where you have to rely on him. So after that, when we moved to a new school district, all of a sudden we had fertility coverage. And I was like, praise the Lord. There was like $10,000, I think, of coverage for fertility treatments. So I'm thinking, absolutely. Thank God. Look, he made provision. Okay. And I go to the doctor, like when we're, because it didn't happen for a long time. So my kids are 5 years apart, 4.5 years apart. And I start the treatment. And I was like, I want to do exactly what I did before because that's what worked. It didn't work. We blew through, and I say blew through, we went through the $10,000 of coverage, gone, and nothing came of it. So I was like, it was except for like pregnancy losses. And so I remember thinking like, what? Like this, but that's what worked before. And the Lord was like, yeah, but I want to do something different. And it was a very hard situation to walk through. And I remember getting prophesied over, it was a whole long, I could tell you the whole story. But I remember God being in a healing service in Daytona Beach, Florida. And there was a youth service. And so I'm like, why would he minister to like these? We were, a couple of other things happened on that trip that we were very ministered to. And God made some like lifelong connections with people. But anyway, we're in the service and kids are getting healed and kids are getting filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was so amazing, right? And so we were there and I was going through a miscarriage at that time. And I knew that was not going, like I knew it was going to go that way because of the way they test all your blood and all that stuff. Anyway, it's a lot. We were in that service and from the podium, like the service is ending and this pastor's on stage and he goes to leave and he walks off and he runs back to the microphone and he said, there's a couple here that's been told they won't have a baby and by this time next year, you will have a baby in your arms. And I was like, this is youth. I hope, you know, hopefully there's no teenagers in there being like, oh. Anyway, So I was like, I don't care if there's somebody else. That's for me. And I met a woman there who I'm still friends with today that she goes, all week I've been looking for a barren woman. And she's like, it was so strong. And I felt like the Lord took us all the way across the country to be ministered to. And it's like, I don't know why I do a little bit, but I don't know why God causes us to wait sometimes. But man, if you can keep your eyes fixed on him, and not get so bogged down in the nitty-gritty and the pain and the grief. If you can learn to give that to him, he will maximize the growth. And he will maximize the glory that he receives. Because, man, if I had had it my way, it would have been easier. But it would have been just for me. But God, when he has a willing vessel, he wants to teach us things. And when we can look at our circumstances and say, okay, God, how are you going to be glorified in this situation? That's a discipline. It is. And it's easier said than done, right? And I think part of that is going to the Lord. I don't know why I didn't plan on talking about this today, but part of that is going to the Lord with honesty and with, I'm in grief about this. I'm broken. When instead of lying to the Lord, you will stay stagnant if you only want to give God a curated picture of things are great. That's a lie. And God knows anyway. So take him your mess and he will begin to lift your eyes off of your circumstances. Sometimes that looks like coming up and praising him and shaking off those heavy things in worship. Sometimes it looks like dancing before the Lord to begin to change your perspective. It is a discipline. It's easier said than done. Yes. And it's choices. We're going to make that choice even when it's painful to worship the Lord. And 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. So if you're, again, if you're taking notes, if you're writing this down, we're forgetting what is behind. We are fixing our eyes. We are lifting our perspective off of our circumstances. And the next one is not just our eyes. We're going to fix our mind. So Isaiah 26:3 says, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is fixed on you because he trusts in you. So we're going to fix not only our eyes, our sight, but our mind and our thought life on him. The New Living Translation says, you will keep him in perfect peace, all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. So when we take every thought captive and we keep our mind set on him, our eyes and our mind are set on him, he keeps us in perfect peace. Colossians 3:2 says, set our affections on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. So we fix our eyes, we fix our mind, and we turn our hearts to him. We set our affections. We love him more than we love the things of the world. We love him more than we love our habits, more than we love, this is just who I am. No, we love him more. And we're willing to submit those things to him so that he can change us. As you're looking forward to this fast, I felt deeply unspiritual last year because I went to the Lord and I was like, oh, I'm going to fast. And I'm thinking like, what meal do you want me to give up, or what sugar or whatever? And God said, social media. And I was like, that's embarrassing. I don't have to go and like tell people I have a problem with this, but I did. And it wasn't out of some great place of sin. It was habit. It was a habit that I developed that I'm scrolling and I'm not even meaning to. And the Lord, I remember deleting all of it for a month. And I realized how much of my affection, how much of my heart had been set on things that really don't matter, on things that have become just habit. And I've noticed this even with my students. I have a big no cell phone rule in my class, but I make it more about like, we're going to be present for each other. We're going to be here for each other. We're going to put that aside. That can wait. And that's actually been really successful. That kids have, when they look at it like that, it's been good. But there's so much noise that we allow in, and maybe that's not your thing. Maybe you don't have a problem like I do. But I remember that's what the Lord told me to fast. And I was humbled by how much time I had wasted, and not just time, but like mental space, and how much noise I'd allowed into my brain that now I can't hear the voice of the Lord because I'm just filling my brain up with just the dumbest stuff. Some of it is just so stupid. And some of it's good. There, you know, like connection with people, and I like staying up to date with people, but it's not what matters. And so we set our affections on things that are above, not on the things that are of the earth. And then Proverbs 4:23 says, to keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. So we set our affections and then we guard our heart. And guarding our hearts is active. It's an active choice to guard our hearts. And if the Lord will reveal what needs to be removed, and the Lord will reveal what needs to be added in order to guard our hearts. You know, it's kind of like, I remember, this is a silly story, but I remember going to a birthday party when I was a kid, and they were all like, we're going to tell scary stories, because it was a sleepover, but I wasn't allowed to do sleepovers, so my dad would come pick me up at like 10, which is great. So we were sitting there, and we're like, we're going to tell scary stories, but before we do that, let's pray so we don't get scared. We were in sixth grade, and we were stupid, but I was like, I remember sitting there and thinking, like, how about we just don't tell the scary stories? And they're like, no, we're going to tell scary stories, but they wanted to pray so that they didn't get scared. And I was the only going like, that's stupid. Like, why don't we just not tell the scary stories? Like, how about we just don't put the fear in our hearts and then pray to get it out? It was so funny. Anyway, that's a side note. Kids are weird. Okay. And Proverbs 4. Oh yeah. Sorry. So we're guarding our heart. The Lord will reveal to us those safeguards that need to be set around our hearts so that we can guard it and we guard our affections. James 4:8. Says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So drawing near, again, that's a conscious choice to step forward, to step toward the Lord, not run from him, to try to clean up your mess. And then now I'm worthy. That's not how this works. If it was, we would still be wandering the desert, right? Isaiah 40:31. And this is the last one. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait on the Lord. So we forget what is behind. We fix our eyes on Him. We lift our perspective off of our circumstances, fix our mind, set our affections, guard our heart, draw near, and wait. Wait on the Lord. It's time for us to decide that we believe what we say about the Lord. If we say he moves on our behalf, he works all things together for good. He will make our path straight ahead of us. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. It comes in the waiting. The waiting on the Lord is where we decide if we believe what we say. And I believe it's a new day for the kingdom of God and for the people of God.